All right. It's always counted a high honor and privilege to stand and proclaim the Word of God, no matter when or where. Like a person told me one time, preach or die. You don't get to choose when, where, or how. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter number 50. In verse number 21. And the Bible reads, "These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." Just for a few minutes, focus mainly on the phrase, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. The title is I am not like you. The New King James translates the phrase this way: "You thought I was altogether like you." The NIV translates it this way: "You thought I was exactly like you." The NASB 95 translates it this way: "You thought I was just like you." The problem that a lot of churches have is they worship, but the God that they worship is not the God of the Bible. They worship a God that is more like Santa Claus or the Keebler elf than the God of the Bible. And they like what they have made. And Paul Washer had this to say: "We do not have a lot of churches in America. We have a lot of nice brick buildings with finely manicured lawns." And that's the exact reason why he wrote that, because a lot of people, they don't know who God is. They think he's, like we said, he's more like Santa Claus, or the image they made of him, is the God that they want to serve, and not the God of the Bible. And He is who He is. His Word is what it is, and everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22 and 21, and all the doctrines that it entails. And there's doctrines in here that a lot of people want to back away from, but they're there to show that it's God and God alone, and Christ and Christ alone. That it's all Him, and we have no part in this thing whatsoever. For He saved us from Himself, by Himself, and for Himself. Because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He's sovereign and high above everything else. And when you start standing on truth, it'll cost you absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Paul Washer also had this to say: "It is going to cost you to serve, watch this, the Jesus who loves His church. It could cost you your church, your reputation, your denomination. It could cost you absolutely everything, but the bride of Christ is worth it." He also said this: "You don't study fighting in the middle of a fight. You study fighting long before you ever get to fight. It is the same way spiritually. You've got to form convictions now. Get at the truth of this book. Get at the truth of that tree. Study the great doctrines that are in here. Study the great doctrines that are in here. Two things from J. Vernon McGee and Albert Barnes. J. Vernon McGee wrote, "My friend, God is not speaking only to Israel. He is speaking to us in our day also." Albert Barnes wrote this, that is, they supposed that God would be satisfied with the forms of religion as they were. All he required was the proper offering of sacrifice. You know, just because God's silent, that doesn't mean he approves. That doesn't mean he approves. That's why we should spend as much time as possible in this book and on our knees crying out before a thrice holy God. And speaking of sacrifice, we won't turn there, but Romans 12:1-2 talks about present your bodies as a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world. But a lot of problem with living sacrifices is they want to crawl off the altar. When you start standing on some of these great truths and great doctrines that are in here, you're going to have some people, you know, that are going to want to come. They're going to want to come against you. But just go to Exodus 3:14, where God told Moses, "I am that I am," and in Job 38. If y'all want to turn there to Job 38. In verses 4 through 12, Job 38 in verses 4 through 12, this reminds me of something that Dr. David Miller said when he was in the company. He said that when he was in the company of geologists, that they want to study the carbon deposits, and they try to tell him that the earth is billions and billions of years old. He preferred Jesus. He likes to quote him when he said, "In 6 days God created the heavens and the earth." And if they want to argue with him, he likes to quote him when he said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth and established the bounds of the sea, and said unto her proud ways, thus far and no further." Job 38, verses 4 through 12. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto thou shalt come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the day spring to know his place? God can do what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. Amen. And we have no part in this thing at all. It's all him, and he's sovereign and in control. Thank y'all.